Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, Stephanie.
Today, we're going to be talking about travel. It's
Yay!
April now. The weather's getting warmer. Summer's coming. Maybe you're planning on your summer vacation trip. Maybe some place you might want to consider going would be New Zealand.
I've never been before. Have you?
I haven't myself, but we're going to be talking about it today. New Zealand itself, its population, its culture, and all the things that New Zealand has to offer. And hey, don't take it from us. Take it from the many Kiwis who reside right here in Taiwan. They can tell you all about it firsthand.
Yeah, I guess for the next couple of programs, we're going to sound like the Lonely Planet. We're going to tell you about why you want to go there, what you'd like to see, get you excited about taking a trip. You know, I do want to go to Australia, and while I'm there, of course, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump over to New Zealand, so why not catch both of those places in one trip? Of course, the plane ticket to Australia and New Zealand is quite high. It's very expensive.
Could be very prohibitive.
Yes.
You know, I never used to think about going to New Zealand or Australia, but I read somewhere that Australia is like one of the most laid-back countries in the world.
Oh, yeah, nice people. Good food.
I certainly like to hang out and relax and enjoy life.
Good food.
So maybe Australia or New Zealand might be good for me and good food. What's an example? We're supposed to be talking about New Zealand here.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
Ooh.
They barbecue shrimp. Actually, everything there is fresh and good. So it just sounds fun.
Well, that's Australia now. Shame on you because we're supposed to be talking about New Zealand.
I like kiwi fruit.
Kiwi fruit's cool.
They've
got all that. Although I understand that kiwis' origins are from China,
but
they must have imported some plants there in New Zealand. And we'll talk about New Zealand today. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the first part of our lesson right now, and then we'll come back to discuss it.
With a population of just 4.5 million people, New Zealand is overshadowed by its larger neighbor, Australia. But in reality, it has several cultural and natural attractions which continually attract travelers from all over the globe. New Zealand holds the honor of being the youngest place on Earth, as its two main islands were the last major landmasses to be discovered. The Maori were the first people to settle there, roughly 1,000 years ago, when they paddled to New Zealand from East Polynesia in their canoes. Upon their arrival, they named it Aotearoa, which means the land of the long white cloud in their language. New Zealand became a British colony in 1840, and Europeans began to arrive in large numbers during the late 1800s. Today, regardless of their descent, citizens are affectionately called Kiwis, a reference to the flightless bird as the country's national symbol. For a taste of culture, spend an evening at Matai Maori Village. There, visitors can learn about Ta Moko, a unique form of tattoo art. In a grand ceremony, Maori warriors will display their mastery of ancient weaponry, and women will perform the poi dance, gracefully twirling patterns in the air with glowing balls attached to handheld sticks. If you're not sheepish about unusual sporting competitions, check out a shearing sports show and watch the world's top wool handlers compete to see who can shear a sheep in the fastest, most efficient manner. Over 60 competitions are held each year, beginning in September and culminating with the Royal Easter Show in Auckland in late April.
Now, in today's program, we're talking about New Zealand Kiwi culture. Now, Kiwi is a word for three things.
Yeah.
It's the fruit,
except
the bird there.
Except, Tom, they officially do call it the kiwi fruit.
Okay,
although,
fair enough.
I was growing up, I always said kiwi, but I've noticed in commercials it's always referred to as kiwi fruit.
Okay, well, kiwi fruit, but then kiwi by itself refers to the bird.
Uh-huh.
And kiwis, of course, refers to somebody from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. If they're from Australia, they're an Aussie. If they're an American, you call them a Yank. And if they're from Canada, you can say Canuck. Yeah, you should be careful, though, because sometimes people find those words offensive.
Really? But
I think Kiwi is okay for New Zealanders.
I think they like it. I think they think it's really cute. It is sort of charming, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's right. So in any case, New Zealand is not very densely populated. It only has a population of just 4.5 million people.
Wow.
Taipei and New Bay City, I guess it's called, Sin Bay Shi, here in the north, have more people than all of New Zealand.
Isn't that amazing? Mm. Yeah, but it's sure beautiful country. So they kind of feel overshadowed by their neighbor, Australia. Australia is huge and does have people, many more people than New Zealand. I don't know why they would even compare themselves to Australia.
Right. Well, it is much smaller. It's actually kind of far from Australia, too, but it's significantly further south. So I think if you go to the South Island, it's going to get pretty cold there in the winter, as you know, in the Southern Hemisphere, occurs when summer is happening here.
Right.
So again, yeah, it's overshadowed by its larger neighbor, Australia, but in reality, it has several cultural and natural attractions, which continually attract travelers from all over the globe. Mm. Continually means, continuous. They just keep coming one after another. There's no stop. So foreign tourists are going to New Zealand all the time, and it never stops.
I wanted to mention here quickly the difference between two very similar words, continually and constantly. They're not the same. If something happens continually, it goes on for a long time and it doesn't stop. It never stops. But if it's constantly happening, it happens a lot or all the time or very often, though it may not happen all the time. It could stop.
Like the rain in Taipei, it's a constant during the winter, but it does stop eventually.
Although we had, 3 weeks of continual rain this winter, which was really hard for me to accept. But if it's constant, it happens. But there will be periods where it stops, too.
Okay, so people just keep going to New Zealand, and they aren't going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah.
New Zealand holds the honor of being the youngest place on Earth. Now, that could mean different things. It could mean the islands are young geographically or geologically. It could also mean that the average population or age of the population is pretty low. But here, I think they're referring to its history, okay? It's the youngest place in terms of history. Because, they didn't really discover it until later. These were the last major land masses to be discovered, at least by people outside of New Zealand.
Yeah, landmass just refers to a large area of land. You could call a continent a landmass. So people didn't know it existed. So nobody had moved in and taken up residence, you could say. The Maori were the first people to settle there. So the Maori is someone who belongs to the race of people that first lived in New Zealand. And they currently form only a small part of the population. Of course, other people have moved to New Zealand since the Maori first settled there roughly 1,000 years ago. We say roughly because we're not sure when it happened exactly. So this is approximately when we think it happened. So if you say roughly, you know someone isn't sure of the exact number or time.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's fairly recent when you compare it to, say, the Indians in North America. They've been there for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Or the Aborigines here in Taiwan, they've been here for thousands of years. But the Maori were only there for 1,000 years. And they got there by paddling. To paddle, in this sense, means you're in a boat, but you don't have a sail. You're using a piece of wood, and you're sticking it over the side of the boat to move the boat forward. So you're paddling. You'll paddle a canoe or maybe a rowboat. But except a rowboat, you row, whereas a canoe, you paddle. There are different ways to achieve forward motion.
Now, that instrument they use to move the water can be called a paddle. Mm-hmm. It can also be called an oar, O-A-R. So that's the way they're getting through the water, is just using one or more paddles to move upwards or through the stream. we also have paddle boats. So they might have been in a paddle boat, not a canoe.
Well, in America, when we play ping pong, you know, we use paddles to hit the ball. Although I understand in England, they don't call them that. They say bats there. Some people say rackets, too. But in America, we say paddles, ping pong paddles.
Ping pong paddles, and that's for table tennis. But for tennis, when you're out on the big court, they are tennis rackets. So we just use different terms to describe those things. Now, they went to New Zealand from Polynesia in their canoes. Polynesia are the islands in the central and southern Pacific Ocean. They include the Hawaiian Islands, Tonga, Samoa, and the islands of French Polynesia. So they made their way over to New Zealand from there.
Absolutely. Now, when the Maori got there, they called the new place Aotearoa, which means the land of the long white cloud, in their language. Okay, so I think most Kiwis will be familiar with this term. It's kind of another name for New Zealand, although New Zealand is the official name that everybody knows.
Yeah, I'd never seen this word before, but it is in their own language. Now, Europeans began to arrive in large numbers during the late 1800s, so that's when they started coming over, and that's when New Zealand became a British colony in 1840. If you're a colony, you're a country or area that's under the political control of a more powerful country. In the 1800s, Britain was very powerful, and they were grabbing up land around the world and setting up new colonies. They've since left some of those places and left them independent. They're no longer under British rule.
They've got a few little islands here and there, like the Falklands and stuff like that. But back in the 1800s, New Zealand was a British colony, and today, regardless of their descent, citizens are affectionately called Kiwis. Affectionate means having affection or care or love. So, yes, they're referred to as Kiwis. It's not a bad word. You won't insult them if you call them that. It's a reference to the flightless bird as the country's national symbol. Okay, flightless means it can't fly. Like an ostrich is a flightless bird, or a penguin is a flightless bird.
Are those dodo birds that were too stupid to even survive? They couldn't fly either.
Yeah, there's some kind of bird in New Zealand that also went extinct because they were hunted to extinction. I used to know the name, but I can't remember. But all we care about is the kiwi. Again, that's a reference to this flightless bird. Reference means it has something to do with it. It's a word that represents something. So kiwi here refers to that bird, which is the country's national symbol. And that's a flightless bird. It just can't fly no matter how hard it tries.
Well, if it's the country's national symbol, I'll bet people aren't eating it.
That's right.
They might really think it's a special type of bird and they leave it alone because it's so cute. Okay, everybody, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for a bit, and then we'll be back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们看的是第八单元，我们看旅游的文章。今天的主角是纽西兰，我们来看看纽西兰的文化，还有它其他令你兴奋的活动。好，我们先看一下纽西兰它其实有多少人呢？它这里一开始就告诉你有450万的人口，可是这个人口数跟隔壁邻居澳洲比起来，那可是小巫见大巫。它现在告诉你说，其实纽西兰它除了人口之外，它有很多自然人文的独特魅力，那么所以会吸引全球的游客到这里来观赏。好，我们现在就看下一段。那纽西兰就地理上的现象来说，它是全世界最年轻的地方。怎么说它是最年轻的地方呢？因为在世界各大洲里面，它可以说是最晚被发现的两个陆块。好，我们知道因为纽西兰它有南岛跟北岛，所以它是两个 land masses。 land mass 就是一块大陆陆块。我们看到下面就提到了，在纽西兰上其实它的原住民是毛利人，他想到了毛利人是最先到这里来定居的。那时间是什么时候呢？ roughly 1000 years ago， 大约粗估是1000年以前。那在那个时候呢，他们 paddle to New Zealand。 paddle 这个动词是代表划桨，所以呢他们等于是说过海划着什么。这边后面最后有提到一个 canoes， canoe 就是独木舟，他们划着独木舟从 Polynesia 波利尼西亚这个地方划到了 New Zealand。 那在他们一抵达这里 upon their arrival， 我们看到下面这个一开头的 upon 这个字，它是个介系词，它后面呢一定是要接名词，基本上它的意思就是说一怎么样就怎么样。所以他们一抵达这里 upon their arrival， 一抵达了纽西兰之后，他们就叫纽西兰这块地方叫做 Aotearoa。这个字到底是什么意思呢？就字面上来说，它其实是表示白云朵朵之地，这是一个很美的地名。那接下来我们就提到它的发展。其实在毛利人之后，后来在1840年的时候，纽西兰就成了英国的殖民地。到了19世纪的后期，欧洲人就大批的进到纽西兰来了。我们看到这边提到欧洲人来是 arrive in large numbers。In large numbers， 我们知道 number 这个字可以代表数量，我们经常用的一个片语是 a large number of something， 是表示、一堆的很多的什么，指的是可数名词。那但是这边 in large numbers 意思就是说他们是大批大批的涌进纽西兰。最后呢，这边还提到 late 1800s， 我们看到 late 再加上一个时间指的是后期，所以如果我们讲The late 1800s 指的就是19世纪的后期。好，我们继续往下看，下面说，不过今天啊 regardless of their descent， 意思就是说不管是他们祖先是谁，其实在这边纽西兰的居民他们都被叫做同一个字，叫做 Kiwis。 那这个 Kiwis 这个说法是怎么来的呢？其实他后面就提到了这个说法是因为他们这边有一个国鸟，这个国家的象征叫做 Kiwi， 这是一种不会飞的鸟，而就因为这个鸟的关系，所以呢，大家就昵称他们是 Kiwis。
It's time for us to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back with more English Digest.
Now, we just spent some time talking about the history of New Zealand. Let's talk about what you can do there if you're interested in culture for a taste or a sampling of culture. Well, you could spend an evening at Mitai Māori Village. It's kind of an Aboriginal village there. There, visitors can learn about Tā Moko, which is a unique form of tattoo art.Tattoo is a noun. It refers to some kind of design that has been painted on your skin by a special tattoo artist, and it can never come off unless you have a special kind of operation or something like that.
Well, and the way they do it is they use a needle that has ink inside it.
Oh, that sounds very
painful.
Yeah,
it's a painful process. We have some friends here that work with us at AMC that have tattoos, andWow, I always ask them, how can you endure the pain? I thought it was really painful to get my ears pierced, and that's just one hole.
Ooh.
Those tattoos are just numerous little dots with that needle into your skin. But some people love it. It's unique, so it's unusually good. It's special. Maybe it's one of a kind, this Tā Moko, because it's a unique form of tattoo art. It isn't like the tattoo art you see in other places in the world.
It may not be permanent either, and it may not be painful, but you'll have to do some reading on your own for that.
That would be okay.
It might be from henna or something.
Yeah.
Henna tattoos are like temporary. They'll stay there for a couple of weeks, and then they'll wash away.
They do that in India if you go over there.
Oh, right, right, exactly, right. Right. Well, in a grand ceremony, you can see Maori warriors displaying their mastery of ancient weaponry, and women will perform the poi dance. We'll talk about that in just a second. But a warrior, well, take a look at that word. We've got the word war there at the beginning. Those are men who are prepared to fight in a war. Warriors. It's kind of the old word for soldier. We say soldier nowadays because they have guns and stuff like that. But if you don't have a gun, if you have like a sword or a spear, we tend to call that a warrior.
They probably were trained for many, many years, so they were very good at fighting. And not everybody was trained to fight a long time ago. So these are special men, and they display their mastery of ancient weaponry. So the weapons you're going to see no longer are used in today's wars and battles. They're ancient, probably things like swords and knives and...things I wouldn't want to die by, but they have
shields too, maybe.
Yeah. They have all these cool ancient weapons they can show you. And women will dance the poi dance.
Okay.
And I guess what they do is they gracefully twirl patterns in the air with glowing balls attached to handheld sticks. I haven't seen this myself. When you twirl, you turn around and around and around very fast. A lot of girls, little girls especially, will just twirl around in their pretty dresses so their skirts will fly out. Well, they are gracefully twirling patterns in the air. They have glowing balls attached to handheld sticks.
You know, twirl reminds me of the baton twirlers.
Oh, yeah.
Some marching bands have these women dressed in fancy dresses, and they spin these little metal sticks that are about maybe 2 to 3 feet long. They spin them around, throw them up in the air. I think there are women here in Taiwan that do that, too. Twirl the baton, B-A-T-O-N, baton twirling. But here they're twirling patterns in the air, and they've got these handheld sticks.And at the ends of these sticks are these glowing balls. Now, something glows when it gives off light. You might have a wristwatch that glows in the dark when the lights turn off. You can see kind of these green lights on your watch. It's not a digital watch. The ones with hands, right, maybe will glow in the dark. And these balls are, I don't know if they're on fire or what, but they're giving off light. And again, the balls are attached to those handheld sticks. And if something's attached to something...It's connected to it, it's a part of it, and it's stuck on there.
Kind of sounds like some Polynesian dances I've seen where the guys and the women both will twirl sticks that are lit with fire on each end. Those sticks would be called batons. I guess you could call those batons, too.
Ooh.
These are just glowing balls. It sounds a lot less dangerous than fire on your stick. If it's attached to something, it's connected to it. So you somehow fasten it or connect it to the end of the stick.
Attached to can also refer to maybe someone having a close relationship. Like, that girl is really attached to her grandfather. She likes to spend time with him because she likes his stories. She's really fond of him. But here it's literal. It means the things are actually stuck onto that stick, as you said, twirling in the air with these flaming balls.
Yeah, a lot of times, too, we'll talk about how little kids will become attached to special blankets or special toys.They just don't want to be separated from them. I had a sister who there was one blanket in particular. She wasn't even 1 year old, and she just always had to have that blanket in her hand, or she'd start to cry. She was very attached to it.
Well, she probably broke herself free from that blanket later when she grew up.
We had to hide it from her after she got older.
To break her of the habit. Okay. Well, let's talk about sheep now. We forgot to mention that a lot of people say there are more sheep in New Zealand than there are people. It's probably true.
Wow.
And of course, as a result, New Zealand's probably famous for its wool products.
Yeah.
So if you're not sheepish about unusual sporting competitions, well, check out a shearing sports show. Sheepish here kind of means shy, maybe scared of something. And, well, if you're interested in something like that, you're not scared to see something new, you could go to this shearing sports show.
Sheepish could also mean you're kind of uncomfortable or embarrassed because someone has caught you doing something wrong or silly and you feel foolish. So maybe some of you feel a little silly going to unusual sporting competitions, but you'll want to check out the shearing sports show. It sounds like it's lots of fun. When you shear something, it means you're cutting the wool off from the sheep. So in the winter, when it gets cold, that sheep's wool will grow longer and longer. He'll be all fluffy. And then they shear it off and they'll cut that wool off very close to the skin. It doesn't hurt the sheep. But then they take that wool and they turn it into blankets and coats and clothes and everything you can imagine.
It's really weird, but I remember it like it was yesterday when in first grade we went on a field trip over to Jackson School to watch a sheep get sheared. to have all the wool cut off of it. And you might want to see this as a sports show because these top wool handlers in the world, people who do this for a living from different parts of the world, they want to have a competition to see who can shear a sheep the fastest, in the fastest, most efficient manner. So they not only have to get all that wool off the sheep in the fastest time, but they also have to do it efficiently. In other words, they can't waste any of the wool. It's got to be a clean, shaven sheep.
Over 60 competitions are held each year, so this is a really big event in New Zealand. I bet all the guys grow up knowing how to shear a sheep. Well, it begins in September and culminates with the Royal Easter Show in Auckland in late April. So there are lots of chances to see these competitions. When something culminates in something else, it just means a process is ending with a particular event. That's how it ends. So the big event would be the Royal Easter Show in late April. We're not finished talking about New Zealand, but we are for this program. Let's listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to wrap it up.
好，我们接下来看一下到纽西兰这里要怎么样体验这里的文化呢？好，这段告诉你，如果你想要体验纽西兰的文化，那就不妨到 Metai 这个毛利村来过一个晚上。他说，在这里你可以做什么呢？首先去尝试看看 Tattoo 独特的刺青艺术，它叫 Tomoko。 那这种刺青艺术到底怎么一回事？亲身体验才晓得。此外，他还说这边呢还会有大型的庆典。那在这个庆典上，这些毛利战士们会展现出使用古代武器的精湛技术。注意到这句话里头提到一个字叫 weaponry。我们知道 weapon W-E-A-P-O-N 这个字是可数名词，代表武器。可是如果你后面加上 R-Y， 那就是一个集合名词了，变成不可数的集合名词。好，那这边指古代的武器，这是毛利的武士们会展现的。至于女性的毛利人，他们会表演甩球舞 poi dance。这个 poi dance 怎么一回事？他说呢，他们跳舞的时候会甩动一颗球，这个球是会发光的一个彩球，而这个彩球呢是绑在或系到这个手上拿的一根棒子上面。注意到这里这个片语 attach to 就表示接在或粘在、系在、绑在什么上面。我们再往下读最后这一段，最后呢就告诉你咯，假如说你面对一些很奇怪的比赛，而你不会感到难为情的话，不妨来看看这里的剪羊毛大赛。好，我们看到这里有一个形容词 sheepish 就是表示会害羞的，会感到不好意思的。假如你不是会那么容易害羞的话，那来看看剪羊毛这个活动。他说到在这里有全世界最顶尖的剪羊毛好手们聚集一堂，互相拼赛，然后看谁最快最有效率来把全身的羊毛剪掉。那这个比赛呢，他说从什么时候开始呢？他是从九月份的时候一直到四月份。然后他说到在这里呢有一个很特别的活动，叫做皇家复活节表演。他提到 The Royal Easter Show， 这就是皇家复活节表演，地点就在 Auckland。 Auckland 它是纽西兰最大的一个城市，如果您有兴趣的话，不妨来这儿看一看吧。
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time when we continue to talk about New Zealand and Kiwi culture. Please join us then. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.